I'm loud anyway. Being a PE teacher, I'm used to yelling. A lot of yelling. Good morning, good morning. Our Bible reading this morning, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Psalms 95. And I'm going to be reading from paraphrase, the clear word. And it reads, "Come, let us praise the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." And that's me, a joyful noise. "Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving and joyful singing and praises to his name." Amen. A short prayer. Oh Lord, just be with us now in a special way. May the Holy Spirit guide us through and every heart here. And this I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And before I start, I'm going to have a children's story because I have a grandchild here.
Amen.
And when I was 12 years old, about 12, that's only 4 years older than you, Levi. You do a lot of growing in the next 4 years. Well, I was a paper boy. I had a paper route. I was in business for myself.
All right.
And one Sunday, it was the Los Angeles Examiner that I delivered. And the papers were like logs. They were this big round. And I stuffed my bags on my bicycle full of those bags. And they were so heavy that it took my wheel and cocked it to the side and had it rubbing on the forks. So I had to pedal extra hard. Well, there's one place on my route where there was a downhill slope. And this was very rural. Houses were very far apart. Rural back in those days, and you rural way apart, if you can believe it. And this was kind of a farm area. And there was no leash logs or anything like that back then. And on this one particular downhill slope, there was two dogs that came out and chased me on my bike every day. But on the downhill, I could gain all kinds of speed. And I could outrun those dogs and flip my papers, and I was gone out of there. And I didn't worry about them. But the dogs, there's dogs, can good dogs and there's bad dogs. I had my leg tore open by a bad dog once on my bicycle that came after me. So I had those fears. So anyway, on this Sunday on my bike, I'm trudging away, pulling those big Los Angeles Examiners. And I come to this hill, and I realize I can't get enough speed to outrun those dogs. And so I stopped, and it was still dark. This is Sunday morning, early, sun barely coming up. It's kind of misty. And it's always kind of spooky out there because people have peacocks. Did you ever hear a peacock?
Yeah.
They go, woo! Woo! They scream. And then when it's dark at night and you hear these things going off, a 12-year-old boy, it's pretty spooky. Anyway, I've stopped at the top of that hill, and fear struck me. How am I going to get by these dogs? And while I was sitting there, I thought, well, I'm going to ask the Lord to help me. So a 12-year-old paper boy, I stopped and I had prayer. I asked the Lord, "Lord, help me get by these dogs. I can barely move this morning. You've got to help me." And as soon as I opened my eyes, I looked off, and in the darkness, here come two big dogs coming right at me. And I thought, I'm dead. I am dead. And these two big white dogs were like Nike. They were part Samoan or maybe old Samoan. And they came at me and jumped up and gave me the biggest lick. And anyway, I started down that hill. And those dogs accompanied me. And they ran those bad dogs off. And I got by that house and those dogs. And when it was all safe, those two big white dogs disappeared.
Amen.
And I know that was the answer to prayer. And that's my children's story this morning. And my other story this morning, and I'm not going to take too long. I know it's getting late. It's hot. But last weekend, we had camp meeting out at Silver Lake. And it wasn't big, but it was fantastic. I want you to know, if you didn't go out there, you missed something. For 3 days, they fed us three meals a day for free. For free. And they were good meals, weren't they? And they were served fairly fast and everything. And that little bitty church out there in the middle of nowhere, Christmas Valley, had some of the fantastic speakers. In fact, here's one of them. I'll talk about him later. Steve Wolberg, the speaker director of the White Horse Media. He is the author of 30-plus books. He has been featured in 3 History Channel documentations: Secrets of the Seven Souls, Strange Rituals, Armageddon, and several other documentaries. He was also on National Geographic International documentation on animal archaeology. Anyway, we have people that famous have done that was right out there at Christmas Valley. And he gave a sermon on the last days, on Armageddon. And I'll talk about that later. We had another preacher. His name was, I can't remember, Elder Bird?
Charles
Bird. And he was one of those real down-to-earth talkers. And his whole thing is, what we need most. What do we need most?
Jesus.
And that comes from the Holy Spirit. That comes from God. And that's what his whole talks were about. And he had some beautiful talks. And James Rafferty. And I think most of you have heard his name. He's been all over the world in his ministries. And he was out there. And he's very, very, very good. In fact, I'd like to share with you just a little bit of what he had to say about. And, of course, everybody's heard the story of Abraham. And he kind of put a new light on it for me. Now, Abraham, he wasn't perfect. He was human. He did a lot of dumb things, and even recorded in the Bible. But Abraham was a man of faith. And, as you know, he had 2 sons. And one son was by his wife's maid, because she couldn't have a son. And that was Ishmael. And we believe Ishmael is kind of the starting of the Arabian group. And then Isaac was the promised son, which came quite a few years later. And if you know the whole story, God had promised Abraham that he would be the father of nations. But here his wife couldn't bear a child. And what was the ages?
90. Like
they were both in their 90s, close to 100. And when God said, Sarah's going to have a child, of course she laughed, you know. But anyway, Abraham took things in his own hands, and since they had been years had gone by since the promise, and so they took their own hands and had a child by
Hagar.
His wife's name.
Sarah.
Anyway, Sarah's suggestion to brought the maid and have that have a child, kind of a surrogate mother thing. And that wasn't God's plan. God had other plans. God was going to work a miracle. And the miracle was that Sarah would have a child. And that happened. And what Rafferty did here, he kind of paralleled Isaac and Abraham to God the Father and Jesus. And this is the way he did it. First of all, they were both miracle children. Jesus, of course, was reincarnated as a child and a virgin lady. A miracle. Isaac, from a woman who passed childbearing years. And it was a miracle that Isaac was born. So there's one parallel. Adam's, they call him, and in the, check this out in the Bible, Isaac was called Abraham's only son. And why was that? He was the only legitimate, son. And of course, Father God's only son, Jesus. Another parallel. They had a 3 days journey out to the mountain where God had asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. Well, Jesus was also 3 days in the tomb. Isaac carried the wood that he was going to be sacrificed on. Jesus carried his cross. Another parallel. Isaac was willing. Think about it. Isaac was a young man. And Abraham was very old. That'd be like me and my son. If he didn't want to do what I had to do for him, no way could I persuade him. So Isaac was willing. Jesus was willing. It talks about Abraham instructing Isaac. So he was taught very well. Jesus also was instructed by his mother and grew in knowledge. Isaac was bound. So was Jesus. Jesus trusted the Father. So did Isaac. And Abraham was instructed to kill his own child. Isaac willingly crawled on the altar, let himself be bound on the wood that he was to be sacrificed on. Abraham, and most of us know the story, I won't go into the details, but Abraham was instructed to slay his child. Abraham trusted God enough that he thought, well, Abraham would be raised again after I killed him. And so Abraham raised his knife, ready to thrust it through his own child. Now think about that for a minute. Think about your own child and taking the knife and destroying him. In the clear word, it says that he was going to thrust it hard. He was going to try to eliminate any suffering that his child might occur, that he would kill him right away. He was ready to throw the dagger, and God held back his hand and told him, no, in your heart, you have trusted me enough to do this. And of course they found a ram caught in a bush and they made the sacrifice with him. And of course they left rejoicing. And I got to thinking about that. That was a human example of what God the Father went through. Except the hand was not held with Jesus. He was slain. And not only was he slain, he was tortured. It wouldn't even been quick. It wouldn't even been quick like Isaac would have gone. It was slow and painful for Jesus. And not only that, he was rejected. He was spit on. He was cursed. He was mocked. Things I don't think any of us could endure. Anyway, that was done for us. And if we look at, we all know John 3:16. God so loved us, the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. And what made this story just a little bit different is I realized God's hand was not stopped. He had to go through with that terrible, terrible thing. He loved us that much. What a wonderful God we have. And that was Rafferty's contribution. He had more. And I just want to... Steve Wolberg, author of many books, and I bought this one, Approaching Armageddon. And he has a little handout. And if Levi, if you can give one to everybody... Wolberg has written many books on end time events in Revelations. And one thing about Wolberg, he doesn't claim that this is the absolute. He says, examine this. Check it out in the Bible. People have different views than me. I'm not saying I'm 100% right, but this is the way I see it. And this is the research that I've done. And he's very clear about that. He doesn't condemn anybody, but he tells it like it is. And out of the 30 books that he has written, I think just about half of those are on Revelations. And this is a very provoking, thoughtful little message that he points out. And this is much of what his talk was about. And like I say, he went through the whole thing. We had 3 days, and he spoke twice a day. So that was about 6 hours that we spent listening to Steve Wolberg. And he made a lot of things that were so complicated in Revelations very clear. And if I had time, and I won't take it now... couple of books that we bought, and it's called The Bloody Woman, and he talks about the two churches. The church is often referred to as women. And in Revelations, there's the woman of light, which is the true church, and there's the apostate woman. The Bible actually calls this woman a whore. And she... She makes the nations drink the wine of her indignation. And so she represents the false church. If we look back in Jesus' time, who crucified Jesus? The church. It was the reigning church of the time that crucified Jesus. In the last days, he predicts it'll be the church again that's apostate. That'll lead the people astray. That there'll be the church, the true church, and the false church. And it's up to us which one we follow. So anyway, next year, if you have a chance to go out there to Christmas Valley, I don't know if you're campers. It was hot out there, but not bad at all. Not bad at all. It's not as uncomfortable as we are right now. It was very good. It was very good. And I think I'll close with that. As hot as it is, it's past 12 o'clock, and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible that points us to the truth. We thank you for Jesus that tells us, choose me, and I'll change you. Lord, we thank you for the promise of of a world that can be made new. We look at the world today and we wonder what's going to go wrong next. Lord, we think of all the things that come in upon the earth, and Revelations points to it. Lord, we look at the people that look at our earth, whether they're ecologists, whether they're economists, whether they're atheists or whatever, they know there's a crisis on this planet. We have global warming, and we feel that now. We have pestilence, and there'll be more. Lord, we have crowding, and it'll get worse. We have lack of resources. It's not going to get better. Lord, the only way it's going to get better is for your coming to change this world, to make it new, to make it a place that is perfect, with no more crying, no more death, no more sorrow. We thank you for that promise, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we have a closing song, and like I, it's hard for me to follow a script. Pardon?
1, 8, 9.
And I know I'm not on the script, but if I could follow a script, I'd probably be famous in Hollywood, but that's not going to happen. And they went out singing.
No, 189, all that thrills my soul.